I am so excited today to continue our series. And listen, you may be wondering, why didn't they do that video? So you can close your eyes and you can imagine the paper boy riding down the street and throwing good news. Okay, let's all do it. We're there. Okay, we saw the video. Listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I'm so excited for us to get to be able to be together today. And there's literally no place I would rather be this side of heaven than you all, with you all here at the White Oak campus, just worshiping God and praising his name. And as we continue our good news series today, I'm excited about today's message. I'm excited about every message, but today's is one that I know changed my life. And I'm believing that it's going to change the lives of the people that are within this place today. So we'll go through some ground rules, which we often do, that if I ask a question, I expect an answer. Sometimes it's audible, sometimes it's nonverbal, okay? But I have a question for you right off the bat. Y'all ready for it?
Yes.
Okay, we'll get better. We'll get better at that as we progress through. How many of you have ever gone to into a kitchen?
Yes.
Yes, you've gone into a kitchen, okay. Now, how many of you have ever gone into the kitchen and then looked in the fridge?
Yes.
Yes, you have, okay. Now, if you haven't, I'm concerned about you. But when you go into the kitchen and you go and you look into the fridge, you're looking in there with expectations of something going to be in there for you to eat, right?
Yes.
Now, when I do that, I usually do it multiple times. And I think about my dad, who was a man that I loved, and he taught me a lot in life, but he was also a very blunt person, okay? He said what he meant, and he meant what he said, and he didn't always try his hardest to not be mean when he said it, but he said things that he meant, okay? Now, I remember there was this one day that I was walking around, and I was hungry. Believe it or not, I got hungry, and I went in, and I looked in the fridge. I saw nothing that was appeasing to me. And then I left. Then I came back, and I looked in the fridge. And as I looked in the fridge, I was processing. I was seeing what wasn't in there as opposed to seeing what was in there. Now, I left. And then I came back to the fridge. And my dad, who was sitting at the kitchen table drinking coffee, he looked at me, he said, Nick, the same thing's in there that was in there 15 minutes ago. I said, Dad, listen, I understand, but my standards have dropped. I'm going to find something. I was looking the first few times at the lack of what was in there. Often, our perspective is the same way across the board in our life. We look at what's not there instead of looking at what is there and running with it. We, as people, have a natural sense to look at what's not there instead of looking at what is there. So as we go through our teaching today, we're going to be focused on Mark 6, verses 30 through 44. And I'm going to read all of those verses, and then we're going to unpack them. Sound good?
Yes.
Amen. Let's read. It says, in verse 30, the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour, and he told them all that they had done, and they told him all that they had done and all that they had seen. Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them, and they saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore to get there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowds as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." But Jesus said, "You feed them." "With what?" they asked. "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." "How much bread do you have?" Jesus said. "Go and find out." They came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then Jesus told the disciples, "They have to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass." So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. Lord, we thank you so much for your provision, Lord. And God, I thank you for what you're going to communicate today through the message that you've placed on the hearts of the campus pastors and all those communicating today. Lord, I pray that as we go through this teaching, Lord, that you would just, number one, be with us. Number two, show us who we are within your kingdom. And Lord, show us a fresh perspective of everything that you have planned to do with what we have, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Listen, there's a tension that we're going to walk in today. And the tension is whether or not we're going to look at God for who he is as the ultimate provider. It's hard for me as a man, and I think the men in this room would agree that we're created to provide. But then to trust in him as the ultimate provider, it shifts our mind. And we have to fully trust and walk in faith. And as we do that, we often do not see God for who he is. We often do not see him as the ultimate provider. We only see what's in our hands, what's in our lives, what's in front of us. Just like the fridge, I only saw empty until I was so hungry that I did see some ranch dressing and I knew there was some bread. Listen, I had a little dip. Listen. And it was good ranch, at least. It was good ranch. But I would have much rather something else. But God switches our perspective. Take what you do have and keep it moving. Now, as we do that, things change in our lives. Things get to a fresh perspective in everything that we do. So let's turn back to Mark 6, starting in verse 30. If you're feeling overwhelmed by maybe the lack of things in your life, the stuff that you thought you would have by now, maybe, just maybe, you need to do one of the best things that we can ever do for the kingdom. Rest. Rest. And not like get a bag of chips and sit on the couch and watch whatever Netflix show you want to watch. I'm talking about true rest. We don't know what that looks like in our culture today. But Jesus is making a call to rest. The apostles returned from their ministry tour, and they told them all that they had done, everything that happened. They gave a report. That's why we had victory and freedom testimonies today, because we wanted people to give a report of what God did and what they experienced. But Jesus said, "Listen, I know that you just poured out a lot. Let's go take a rest." Let's go on a little boat tour. I am being used today by God to communicate to you, you need to rest. Sometimes the best thing you could do for the kingdom is take a nap. Some of you should have said amen to that because you have your afternoon Sunday nap already planned.
Amen.
Huh? You're taking a nap right there? It's on your schedule. Okay, because I mean, you can nap there. The chairs are comfy. That's fine. But it's not during the teaching. Okay? Is there anybody sleeping right now?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. They're up now. Get up. He's talking about you. The call to rest is important. Jesus knows everything. And as he's calling them to rest, he knows that he's about to call them to something else as well. He knows that after the rest, they're going to keep it moving. They're going to keep going. So you fill in the blank here. What is your rest going to be? And it doesn't need to be a week. It doesn't need to be 3 days. It doesn't need to be a whole day. Sometimes the best rest is just an hour of you going and just being with Jesus. To a quiet place. You want to know what my best rest is? Going for a bike ride. It's restful. You know what else my best rest is? Just sitting with Jesus and driving around the communities that we're called to serve and just praying. It's so restful. You have to find what your rest is. You have to find when your Sabbath is. Everybody can't have the same day. Mine's Friday. Friday is blocked off. Nothing goes on Friday. The only thing that goes on our calendar on Friday is if Rachel puts it there. And she's been doing that a lot more often. Find your rest and then rest in it. Let's keep moving. Verses 32 through 34. After we're rested, after we have some time, after we get filled up by whatever that is that fills you up with Jesus, there's a call to move. Jesus and his compassion was there because I believe they got some rest. Now, if I'm not rested, there's not much compassion that comes out of me. I'm just being honest. I don't know about you. But if I'm not rested, my first response to things that come up in life, people, is not compassion. It's not. But Jesus was rested and he started to move in compassion because he was able to see with a fresh perspective. So they left. They went to a quiet place. They were alone, they were together, they were being around people that encouraged them and empowered them and helped them rest. But all the people recognized them. All the people saw them. All the people knew that they desired something from them. And because they were able to have rest, Jesus was able to be moved by compassion by what he saw. He didn't see that he was tired. He didn't see that the apostles were tired. He didn't see that there was a lack. He saw what was in front of him, which were people that needed a shepherd, that needed cared for, that needed fed both physically and spiritually. So here's my question to you. If you haven't rested in a long time, what are you being moved by? Are you being moved by the things you don't have? Are you being moved by the time that you don't have? Or are you being moved by compassion and purpose and the calling that's in your life? Because every one of us have a calling. Or are you walking in lack? To have compassion means that the deepest part of your life is moved. It's not just like, oh, that's sad. all. No, it's to be moved to something. When's the last time you were moved to do something? Everybody loved all of the Bridge City kids sitting up here. Oh, they're so cute. It's great. But when's the last time you were moved to serve in that area? Moved by compassion, moved by the heart of Jesus, because there's kids that are here and there's kids that are outside of those walls that don't have a shepherd. They don't have somebody that's believing in them. They don't have somebody that's encouraging them. They don't have somebody that's empowering them and challenging them to move forward. And when's the last time you felt moved to take part in that? It's real simple. Healthy things grow, growing things change. Make a change in your life and step forward and be moved by compassion for those children. Now, did I just communicate something to you that you might be feeling, oh, that's an inconvenience? That would be inconvenient for my day. That would be inconvenient for a couple weeks out of the month and Sundays. And I got to sit next to people. I got to see my friends. We'll talk more about this later, but was it an inconvenience that you heard? Or was it a heart of compassion that was moving you forward? I can't answer that question for you. Only you can. And whenever you answer that question, there's going to be a call for you to do something. The next verses that we see here. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." But Jesus said, "You feed them. You feed them." You know, we always look at things from our own perspective, and the disciples were like, "Listen, we need to send these people away. They don't got to go home, but they got to go away from here, and they can go get their own food. They can go buy their own stuff. They can go get what they need on their own." That was being moved by inconvenience, not being moved by the compassion that we just spoke about. How many times have we done that in our lives? Oh, they'll be fine. Oh, they can do it on their own. Let them go get their own stuff. I'm not going to serve them. I'm not going to encourage them. I'm not going to help them move forward. Send them home. Now, listen, saying send them home is also a blessing in a lot of ways. I think that grandparents get to experience that in such an amazing way because they get to get the kids all sugared up and riled up. And then, hey, go ahead. Go home now. But they first were moved by compassion. As we see Jesus make this statement, "You feed them." Instantly, their response is, "With what? We don't have anything. There's not an Aldi nearby. There's not a Walmart. There's not a Target. There's not whatever other grocery store you go to. I don't know how some people go to Giant Eagle, but people go there." Listen, Gas Perks and Kohl's Cash are a scam. I said what I said. The disciples said, "With what?" They saw their lack. They saw what they didn't have instead of what they were being called to do. Being called to obedience and walk out what Jesus has asked us to do. We'd have to work for months to get enough money to buy food for all these people. Imagine throwing a lunch party for 5,000 plus. Crazy. And the disciples saw that. We can't go buy food for 5,000 men and their families. But Jesus said, "What do you have? What do you have? What is around you? What resources can you use and present?" So my question to you all today is, what areas of your life are you looking at lack? Are you looking at what you don't have? instead of looking at what you do have. There are so many people within here that you are so unbelievably gifted in so many ways, but you're looking at everything through the wrong perspective and the wrong lens. What do you have? I kid all the time that one day the Holy Spirit's going to fall and I'm going to get to play these drums just for one song. I know it's going to take a move of God. I don't know why I can't get my feet to do something different than my hands at the same time. I just can't do it. I can air drum with the best of them. Sometimes I think I'm like making Cheddar do things. I did not look at the fact that I can't play those, but I did look at the fact that I can do a whole bunch of other things. What do I have? I don't have the gift to play those. I have the desire, but I don't have the gift. What area of your life are you looking at what you don't have instead of looking at what you do? You may have an unbelievable heart to serve people, but you feel like you lack wisdom or knowledge and you're scared of what might happen. Step out and watch God meet you. What do you have? Oh, I don't have the job that I want or I desire, but what has he blessed you with that you can walk in joy and peace and his presence? You have to answer that question for yourself and have other people help you walk it out. They came back and they reported to him because they went in obedience. Now, I can only imagine that when they started walking, the conversations that they were having. Brothers, great friends, can you believe this? We don't have any money. We're going to have to feed 5,000 people, and they're hungry. I heard the one guy, I saw him eat like 25 fish. It's ridiculous. He thinks every time he's around that it's just an all-you-can-eat buffet. We don't have the money. Could you imagine the conversation? They walked in obedience, but they still probably talked. But they walked in obedience with those that were around them, those that were with them. They had somebody that was going to encourage and empower and equip them to walk the obedience out. Verse 35. The test of obedience. Late in the afternoon, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. We're getting ready. Send away the crowds." The test of the obedience was that they were rested. They were moved in compassion. They were called to obedience. The test was go and do it. Go and find what you have. Go discover it. Whenever we walk in obedience, the blessing or clarity isn't always going to happen right away. There's a test that comes of the obedience that God has given us. So, don't give up. Don't give up when your obedience is tested. Don't give up and just call it a day whenever you have a hard day. A rough moment, a rough season, a rough few seasons. Listen, the Browns keep playing. They keep drafting quarterbacks. Their obedience is being tested every single year. They don't just close up shop. Well, they did, and they went to Baltimore, and then they came back. It was a rough season. The Steelers, Tomlin's never had a losing one. So we keep hearing. Haven't had a playoff win since 2016. But listen, we're moving forward. What area of your life do you need to walk in obedience and then allow God to test it, and then you keep moving? Verse 39 through 44. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. I love this translation because I love that Jesus points out that the grass was green. It tells me that he was a guy's guy. Like, he wanted to put them on the green grass. Don't put them over there on the dead grass. I don't know. It's just something within me. When I see nice grass, I just want to take my shoes off and like frolic through and... It's a goal. So Jesus like spoke to me there. Okay, green grass. Set them on the green grass, on the nice stuff. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100, and Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so that they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish so everyone could share. They all ate. They all ate. Listen, we had a great time last week talking about dusting your shoes off and keeping it moving and let people deal with their own fate. And then I crip walked across the stage and we did all that. There's another thing within the world that the world has taken, and they've taken it from Jesus. If I'm eating, everybody's eating. It's a statement that is used now that if you're moving forward, everybody else around you should be moving forward. Yeah. They all ate. So, how did that happen? This miracle. Because the disciples rested. They were moved by compassion. They walked in obedience. When their obedience was tested, a miracle took place. We do things out of order so many times in our life. We want the miracle before the testing. We want the miracle before the trial. We want the miracle before the obedience. We want the miracle before we do what he's telling us to do, which sometimes is just rest. There's an order to things. There's a process. There is a plan. And guess what? It's perfect. And you're not going to be able to see it all. You're not going to be able to understand it all. All you need to understand is that if you take your little bit and you turn to God and give it to him, watch what he will do. That is the order. Rachel and I received a prophetic word 2 years ago that there would be a year of surprises ahead of you. There's a year of blessings. You have no idea where they came from or how they even got there or anything. And then, surprise, surgery, lost a toe. I didn't lose it. I know where I left it. I left it at the hospital. Okay? I know where it's at. Surprise! Rachel was like, God, where are you? God, what are you doing? He was testing our obedience. Are you going to keep walking out what I've called you to do? We're at the miracle season now. And I'm so excited because there's miracles sitting in this room. There's miracles that have been happening around us. There's people that are miracles. You're like, we don't see miracles. Here's a miracle. Somebody that's been prayed for 2 years to meet Jesus had a 3-hour meeting with the pastor in that room over there, and his marriage is going to be healed. He's going to meet Jesus. He's going to continue to read Romans 8 every single day and find out that nothing can or ever will separate him from the love of God. And this is all because of the obedience that you all walked in serving at International Village last week. There's an order. Are we going to walk in order with what Jesus is doing and who he is? If you do, the results are always going to be the same. He's going to prove who he is to you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to protect you. He's going to be your shepherd. Now, I could only imagine the conversations that the disciples are having now. Did you see all those fish? There's even tartar sauce. The amazement that was on their faces. The excitement that was within them because they did what he said to do. And he met them and 5,000 plus people. They all ate. So, whenever we're walking in the order that God has placed before us, just as the disciples needed, you need a group of people that are going to walk with you. You need a group of people that are going to help you walk in obedience even when it's being tested and watch and believe with you for the miracle in your life and the lives of those around you. So guess what you need? A group. You need that. I know how scary it is. I know because I had to be invited and invited and invited and invited, and then I finally went when I was threatened. But I've never left. I've never left. My first group was with Matt Klingensmith, who's now an elder of the church, and I'm a pastor of the church, and neither of us knew. Well, he probably knew he was going to be an elder since he was like six. But but we've walked out some tests of obedience. We've gotten to see miracles together. And it was all because of a group. So you have a card on your seat. Groups went live today. I've already got alerts that there's a new person trying to request to be a part of my group. Harlan, I will review your application, sir. But all you have to do is take your phone, open your camera, and hold your camera against this QR code, and you will sign up for a group. Why am I saying a group? We're believing for the day that at the White Oak campus that we have 40 connection groups. We're believing for that day. It's going to happen. We're not there yet. So I'm going to ask that you, number one, sign up for a group because you need people to walk with. Number two is that you sign up for one group, not seven groups, not 15 groups, not 25 groups. You sign up for a group. Then, if that group remains open that you wanted to go and double dip, we can talk about that. There's going to be groups that are going to fill up 100%. And the enemy is going to creep into your mind and say, there's not room for me. That is a lie. Because there is room. There's groups all over the city of Pittsburgh. There's Zoom groups, which means you can sit on your couch and have a group because of the technology is a blessing in a lot of ways. But I want you to sign up for a group. We're going to officially kick off groups September 7th. That's a Sunday. Now, when you become a part of a group, the natural order of things is that you progress and that you start to grow because healthy things grow and growing things change. So the natural progression of being a part of a group of believers that are going to encourage you and empower you and equip you is that you're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged to do something. So we're in a big group right now. This is like a big family reunion. I'm going to challenge you all that tomorrow evening you attend the Leadership Connection with Gerald Brooks. We're bringing him in. He's an amazing speaker, has an amazing heart for the local church, and he is going to empower and equip us to move forward. You may be saying, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. Some of us are a leader of a few. Some of us are leaders of tens. Some of us are leaders of hundreds. But no matter what, we're all leaders. So I'm asking that tomorrow evening, you make your way to the North Braddock campus. and you get encouraged to move forward and see how you can be a part of what God's doing both in and through the local church. Now, the test to obedience. We started our time today with a quote that says, "We often do not see God as a provider. We only see what's in our hands and in front of us and what we can see." We're going to end our time today with a complete perspective shift, that you would trust in Him as your provider, that you would rest in His care and in His presence, in His love, in His word, and that you would step forward in some area or numerous areas of your life in obedience and watch yourself be moved by compassion. That first word, trust Him, it starts with you repenting of your past, receiving Him as the forgiver and the leader into your future. You can't move forward without first having a starting point, and the starting point is the cross. And if you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've fully trusted in Him and who He is, I want today to be your day. Here's why. I want everybody to eat at the banquet that we're all promised if we've received Him. So if you don't have a day, a time, a place where you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want today to be your day. And I want you to do one of the bravest things you may ever do, which is to slip your hand up to heaven and say, "God, that's me. I don't have a day where I've trusted in You and repented of my past and received Your forgiveness and called upon You as Lord." Anyone at all today? Thank You for who You are and who we get to be. Lord, I thank You for everything that You're doing within this place. Lord, may we not see our lack, but may we see everything that You have called us to walk in, which is obedience, being led by compassion, and trusting that You are who You say You are. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to have a little update.